Thank you, Gabby. Let me move this. Well, let me ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word. Will you pray with me? Lord, we're always mindful of our needs and the need we have for You to speak to our hearts. And we pray for that. We have prayed for that. We ask it again, that Your Holy Spirit will come and speak Your truth, that Jesus Christ may be glorified. It is our desire to honor Him, and we pray all this in His precious name. Amen. I grew up in a small home in Moss Point, Mississippi. Same home for 18 years until I went off to school. I remember my dad, when we were growing up, he would do something that would show our growing as three boys, and I was in the middle. Each birthday, he would take us to a room or the door facing or the door frame in our hallway, and there he would mark our growth at each birthday. He would put a pencil on top of our head, and he would mark it and put the date there and put my name there. And so over time, I can still remember looking at those lines get higher and higher as I grew. We could watch the pencil mark rise. Our stature with Christ begins small as well, but we are to watch the pencil mark rise. We are to grow. We are to grow. We are growing in faith, hope, love, and grace. And our growth in Jesus Christ usually comes with investments. It always comes with change, with some ups and downs, or that's been true in my life, some doubts and fears, some victories, some defeats. And of course, it always comes and can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, before I speak to us about growing, which is the central focus of the message, let me remind you this. Christ and His finished work of salvation. On the cross, He said, "It is finished." Jesus' work and God's plan were finished and accomplished. Salvation is now complete. My dear friends, you cannot add anything to that. As a matter of fact, that's when we get in trouble, when we try to add something to that. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, according to the Scripture gospel alone. And that gospel is centered in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, dying on the cross for our sins and raised 3 days later, vindicating His sufficient sacrifice and offering for our sin. That's it. That's it. That's how someone comes to salvation. No other redemptive work is necessary. Now, in salvation, we rely on what Christ did for us, primarily on the cross. In our Christian growth, which we're going to look at, we are relying on what the Holy Spirit, or what Christ does in us by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Christian life is Trinitarian. Father, Son, and Spirit. We were just singing about that. Oriented toward God and His holiness, that's our aim, by the life of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the supreme good, the supreme holiness. We orient our lives toward Him. We're formed by the life of Jesus Christ, and we are moved toward the good. We're moved toward the holy by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So it is the work of the Spirit to help us to enter into more fully what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. How does Peter put it? Look at it again with me, these last couple of verses. This is verses 17 and 18. These are the last known words that Peter wrote. "You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow, there it is, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must grow in the grace, that's the atmosphere, that's the only way to grow, that's the only way to breathe and grow, is through the atmosphere of grace. But we are to produce the fruit of knowledge. Not that we just want to know another fact about Christ, it's not just that. I mean, that is part of it, but it's about knowing Him by way of a personal relationship. You know, I can know all the facts I want about Cindy, but our relationship is not just about each other. It is knowing one another. It is growing in our relationship. And that's what Peter is getting at here. Now, notice he says this. You already know these things. Now, what is he talking about there? Well, you have to go back and look at the whole letter, but especially these last couple of paragraphs in chapter 3. Peter is speaking about the second coming of Jesus. That's the focus in chapter 3. And he's asking the question, how are we to live in anticipation of his second coming? How are we to live? The day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief, he writes. The heavens will pass away with a terrible noise. The very elements themselves will disappear in fire. That's the heat death of the earth and of the universe. And the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this and be replaced by a new heaven and a new earth, but since everything is going to be destroyed, what holy and godly lives you should live. See, that's what he's getting to. Your holy life, your godly life in this world. And so he's giving some detail about that here. And he offers these final recorded words. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's how we're to live in this world, in these final days of our life in this world. Grow. The word here in the Greek is oxano, which we get, you can kind of hear it, we get our English word to augment, or to add to, or to increase, become greater. In the scripture, this word is used of plants growing, of infants growing into children, and children growing into adults, of a multitude of people, the crowd grew, and it's also used of the Word of God increasing, the gospel increased in a certain community or village. But in this case, Peter is writing about this inward growth, this Christian growth of the heart. We have this capacity in our spirit to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, many of us here are through growing. We're as tall as we're going to be. The pencil mark cannot go any higher for me. That's it. But that's physically speaking. But spiritually speaking, I'm to grow until I die or until He comes again. The Bible is full of these encouragements. Grow, grow, and warnings. The Bible is full of warnings. Be on guard. Notice how he writes that here. Be on guard. The word here is to keep watch, to keep something safe. During Christmas time, we always read, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Same word. Keep watch. Be on guard. Be careful. 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul writes, O Timothy, guard the deposit of faith entrusted to you. Guard the gospel. Be careful. Guard it. Why should we be concerned about growing? Well, he gives us a couple of reasons. False teachers will surely come. Grow, because false teachers will come and distort the scripture. Did you hear what Gabby read to us about how some had already started distorting Paul's letters to the church? It had already started in the first century. Do you think that's still going on today, my friends? Be careful, he says. Be on guard that you not be carried away with error. Be careful that you do not lose your stability, lose your footing. You see, the Bible has a long list of those carried away, losing their footing. Israel often drifted to other gods. The priesthood of Israel was often perverted. Kings would be led astray. And there are many examples in the New Testament of people being led astray, the dangers of false doctrine grow because we have to be on guard. We have to be careful. This word for lose your stability or losing your secure footing means to, can also be translated to fall down or to fall into a ditch, to hit something that causes you to stumble. Don't lose your stability. These are reasons to grow. Be on guard. Be careful. Now, this is a common phrase, and if any of you have raised children, how many times have you said those words? Be careful. That's what Peter's saying right here. Now, sometimes we give it the emphatic. Like when my youngest son, Jonathan, would go hunting with his cousins. They had the guns all loaded up and all the ammo, and out to the woods they go. What did I tell them before they left? I didn't just say, be careful, do the best you can. Oh, no, no. I said, guys, be careful. It's the emphatic here. We have to be careful. We have to be on guard that we not lose our secure footing. It's extra emphasis given here. Now, he also gives us this language of process, the process of growing. Peter, this is obviously at the top of his mind because he begins his letter almost the same way that he ends the letter. Look with me at verse 2. This is chapter 1, the very beginning of the letter. It sounds very familiar to the last verse in the letter. 2 Peter 1, 2 says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you, what? Grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And then at the end of his letter, chapter 3, verse 18, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I think process is a good word here, a process of growing, just like the pencil mark by the process of me growing physically. It's a good word describing our spiritual lives. Now, when we come to Christ, when we place our faith in Him, often there may be a healing of the heart or a past experience that He has to heal us or mend us. And these powerful things may happen, but from there, we need supervision. We need an empowered supervision of growing in God's grace. You see, it's a grace that not only saves us, but hear me, changes us. That's the Christian gospel. It's salvation leading to transformation. That's the glory of our gospel. And discipleship, when we use that word, it's about a whole life apprenticeship. I think that's a good word to reintroduce to the church, to be an apprentice of the master. And Jesus is the master. So the end goal of discipleship is to become, by God's grace, like Jesus. Like Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, he was given an illustration. He said, can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, their master. But the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. The student who is fully trained, and that's a key word, will become like the teacher. Grow. Now, some of you may be familiar with Star Wars. Anybody familiar with Star Wars? Have you ever heard of that? Star Wars, and some of you, you got no idea what I'm about to say. But in Star Wars, you had a Jedi Master. And the Jedi Master always had what? An apprentice to learn the ways of the Force. We have to learn the ways of Christ. We have a Master, the Lord Jesus. And through the power of the Spirit, we learn the ways. How do we become like Jesus? It's called spiritual formation. You're being formed. Spiritual formation. The great Dallas Willard, who wrote many books on spiritual formation and discipleship, said this. Spiritual formation is the process of transformation of the inmost dimension of the human being, the heart, the spirit. It is being formed, indeed transformed, to express the life of Christ done in the power of Christ. To be transformed as an expression of the life of Christ done in the power of Christ. Now, there are some reasons we don't grow. One is this: Christ is not the master. If we take the role of master, I am the captain of my ship, I am the master, then I'm going to fall in a ditch. It's like the blind leading the blind. That's why last Sunday morning, those of you who are here, we preached on surrender. That's the beginning point to discipleship. We surrender to Christ as Lord and Master of our lives. That's the call of discipleship, surrender to Jesus. And so one reason people don't grow is because Christ is not their master. Another reason would be that there's no deliberate process for growth. There's no intentional element of it. But let me remind you that we're all being formed. Did you know that? You're being formed. All you have to do is wake up in the morning and you're being formed. How are you being formed? Gulfport is forming you. Some for good, some for bad. If you lived in New York, New York would be forming you. Some for good, some for bad. Shanghai, wherever. We're also formed by the phones that we keep our nose in. We also are formed by our relationships and those around us. These are all forming us, our environments, our televisions, and so forth, our experiences. We're being formed. All you need to do is get up in the morning, and it is happening. So to offset anything that counters the kingdom of God requires an intentional spiritual formation that is stronger than the world, the flesh, and the devil. Often we don't grow because there's no intentionality about our Christian growth. And a third reason is we become spiritually satisfied and lazy. Let me raise my hand to that one. That has certainly happened to me. Satisfied, we get lazy. We should never stop growing. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been following Jesus. We should never stop growing. If we were to parse this verb, it's a verb to grow, as Peter uses it. It is the second person, you, plural, which means y'all. Second person, plural, y'all, present, active, imperative. That means it's in the moment, it is active, and it is a command. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We dare not look to our past without also looking to our present and to our future. You see, the Christian life is full of what? We can say the mysterious, the mystical, the marvelous, and also the monotonous. All of that is involved in our lives. And all of that should grow us. Let them all grow you more and more. The mysterious, the monotonous, the marvelous. Now, let's talk about, real quick, let's just end with some key words for intentional growth. If we are to be intentional about it, here's some key words to do that. Number one is teaching. Number one is teaching. Scripture forms us and shapes us. Other books we might read form us and shape us. Good preaching, listening for God's voice, understanding what it means to be spiritual, fully human, our sexuality, and so forth. We need to hear messages about this, many of which we hear from the world are in direct opposition to God's word. In other words, as Paul says, we need to be about the renewal of the mind, the transformation of the mind. Romans 12 and verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Teaching. A second word is we not only need teaching, but we need practice. We need practice. Obedience. We need more than just teaching. We have to practice out the truth because there are no shortcuts to discipleship. It's not just osmosis. It doesn't just happen. It's a supernatural work, but we have to practice it. Surrendering on a daily basis takes practice. Jesus said this, "Blessed are all who hear the word," that's teaching, "hear the word of God and put it into practice." Luke 11, verse 29. Or as he says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, "Anyone who listens to my teaching," there's the teaching, "and follows it," there's the practice, "is wise. This person is like someone who builds a house on a solid rock." I think another key word for us is what I'm what we mentioned earlier in the scripture, the word training. Richard Foster said, he wrote many books on spiritual formation. He said, most people think we change by trying really hard rather than by training really hard. Let me give you an example. My son Timothy is in, he's running tonight. He's not here today. He's running a half marathon. Now, how many of you think you can go out there tomorrow morning and run a half marathon? Can I see the hands? Maybe a couple of you, maybe a few. Some of you need to put your hand down. but you say, oh no, Pastor, I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to try my best. And you're going to make it about 100 yards and that's going to be it. Ah, but what if you're training? What if over time you train? And you have a master that helps you train. And you run a half a mile tomorrow. And you take a day off. And then another mile the next day. And so forth and so on. And some of us can't even do that. But I'm just saying a general understanding of training. I think that will help us understand this process. You see, a hard command. And there are some hard commands in Scripture. It takes practice and spiritual disciplines. Dallas Willard said the local church is to be like a school of life where we learn to live a new way, the way of Jesus. And it takes training. And he says it takes practice. So, if we're going to grow, we need good teaching. We need to set that teaching to practice. And we need relationships. Relationships. A community. And the church is a community in which it should be a safe place to grow. No matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, this should be a safe place to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And a community does something for us. It provides exposure and encouragement. It exposes some things that need to be shored up, and it encourages you to do that. Just a message like this, just being here today in community is about your spiritual formation. God may be exposing something in your heart, and he's encouraging you to grow. You know, to know what relationships can expose, all you have to do is say the word marriage. I'm telling you, marriage exposed to me just how selfish I was. But it took a relationship to show that. And it took an encouragement of the church and my master to help me grow and to be a better husband. And that's what it's about. That's what these relationships do for us. They expose and they encourage. But we must be careful. Have a sense of dependence upon God. It is certainly not all of us. We depend on Christ. As we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Christian growth is Jesus Christ living in us by the Holy Spirit, making us more and more into his likeness. And the Holy Spirit is that source of power and to guide us in that formation. We have a part in our growth, no doubt about it. We do our part, but the Holy Spirit does the heavy lifting. If we just give him our heart and be an apprentice to the work. St. Augustine said in the 5th century, without him, we can't. Without us, he won't. That's true. Without him, we can't. Without us, he won't. And all of it happens over time. John Newton, who wrote the great hymn, Amazing Grace, said, remember, the growth of a believer is not like a mushroom, but like an oak tree. The growth of a believer is not a mushroom. We are to be oak trees. Lord, help us to be an oak tree as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus.